Hello, everyone. This is Nina MD, Beverly Hills, Fusion of Science and Beauty. And I've got such an exciting topic to discuss with someone who's pretty amazing. His name is Dr. Cantor. He is a PhD in nutritional science. He's got a doctorate in naturopathic medicine. He's a doctorate in business entrepreneurship, and he holds undergraduate degrees in biology and chemistry. Those are my loves. I'm a sort of a geek in biochemistry, and I got really interested in what we call neurotransmitters and how we get these food addictions. I mean, we all have some sort of an addiction, and a lot of the food addictions and even people who are actually addicted to drugs and alcohol, they have issues. And this man has done so much work in coming up with diets that can help deal with food addiction. I want him to tell you about it because he has this something called NAMED, and NAMED, NAMED, is the only program that specifically targets the opiate receptors which cause the craving of addiction. And he also targets inflammation, and he talks about low pH. He talks about how all of these things can result in sugar cravings and stimulating the opiate receptors and how we get food addictions. And then we substitute one addiction, an alcohol maybe, for a food addiction. So he's a phenomenal guest. Dr. Cantor, are you with me? I'm so glad to have you on the show.
Yes, I'm with you, and I'm honored to be with you. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you. And, you know, my love has always been like neurotransmitters, how they affect how we feel, how we do. And, in fact, we know a lot that the food companies are starting to even play with certain amino acids, and they're starting to add that into the food to help us feel a certain way. Please educate us of what is happening, what is it that you do with addiction, and how you've come up with this amazing food program. I mean, it's phenomenal what you're doing.
A friend of mine asked me to be on his board of directors, who was opening up some high-end addiction facilities called five-star rehabilitation centers. And he asked me to, besides be on the board, to do his menus. When I started researching it, of course, I had to do a lot of research on opiate receptors. And the biggest thing I noticed is that the opiate receptors, all the research was on other things, diabetes, Crohn's disease, arthritis. It didn't really talk about drugs and alcohol much, because when the research was done, that wasn't a big field, because there wasn't that many clinics and there wasn't enough money spent on it. So as I started researching it, I noticed that anybody who's addicted to drugs or alcohol had to have stimulated opiate receptors. And then when the opiate receptors, which is just a group of cells, is stimulated, it releases chemicals. Those chemicals give us urges. All urges that we have, except for sex, comes from the opiate receptors. So I said, okay, this is easy. I'm going to not stimulate the opiate receptors. So I had to research it, and now I had to do a lot of research to find out which foods stimulated the opiate receptors. And you could go to my site, which is called NAMED Program, NAMEDprogram.com. But the main things that stimulate the opiate receptors are sugar, gluten, some dairy products, sugar substitutes, caffeine, certain dyes, and preservatives. But those are the main things. And what people do in the clinics, even though they don't have access to the drugs, they just switch it. They transfer it. It's called transference. So instead of taking cocaine, they'll be scoffing down lots of sugar or lots of caffeine, so they get the same highs and lows that they were getting before with the drugs, obviously in a much different way, but to the body, it's more similar. So when they leave the facilities, even though they didn't have the drugs for 30 days or 60 days, depending on the facilities, they would still have their opiate receptors stimulated. So I had to stop that. So that was key number one. I had to make them get high from working out. I had to make them feel good from running a little further or doing more push-ups or their skin clearing up and things of that nature, instead of having more caffeine or having a lot of sugar, which is going to give them the highs and lows. The other thing that I noticed is almost everybody who's addicted, high into the 90th percentile, these people have inflammation. And when I say inflammation, I don't mean a twisted ankle. I mean internal inflammation. And what this inflammation is caused by, as you know, is acidosis. Our pH is too low.
Exactly. And can you explain, you know, really briefly, acidosis is where you, when you have a low pH, you cannot dissociate oxygen to the tissue, correct?
That's correct.
And that's what then adds on to the inflammation burden, because now you've got less oxygen, ability to circulate less oxygen, which can lead to a lot of other issues and inflammation.
That's correct. And inflammation will aggravate Crohn's disease. It'll aggravate fibromyalgia, arthritis. But the thing that was very important to me is that it makes the insulin mechanism malfunction, which then causes our sugar intake and metabolism to malfunction, which again stimulates the opiate receptors. So two things happen. Either it gives us great cravings for sugar, which starts the cycle, or it doesn't give us anything, any cravings for sugar, and it tells all the cells in the body to drop the sugar.
Wow.
So I have to change that pH from a low pH to what it's supposed to be, which is a little above 7. So I do that through the diet and through the foods, certain foods like lemons and limes and things like that.
Yeah, why is that? Okay, can you just, on a side note, everyone asks me whenever I recommend like limes, and they're saying, how can that have, how could that be, help you with alkalinity? Can you explain that?
Sure. Well, an easy way to drink water with a high pH, you could buy it. You could buy a machine called an ionizer.
Which
will do it. Or you could just cut up a lemon and a lime and put it in a pitcher of water overnight, and that'll raise the pH. It's not as exact, but between the food and having a pH, and I've tested it, and it's close to the 9 area if you take half of a lemon and half of a lime, and you soak it, let it soak overnight.
How does that happen? It's amazing, isn't it? That you can.
Well, it's because the lemons and limes are alkaline.
Yeah, exactly. We
have to offset it, because what people don't realize is our body is supposed to be slightly alkaline. And what we do is we don't have it that way, and every function that our body does brings us a low pH. When we breathe, we're breathing in CO2, which causes a lower pH, an acidic pH. When we work out, we're building up lactic acid. When we're metabolizing food, we're getting down to sugar or even fermenting it in alcohol. All these things lower the pH, and we have to, through our diet and water, keep the pH up, because we have to get rid of the inflammation. It's not good. It's not good for your heart. It's not good for your brain and all the other things I mentioned. But in terms of addiction, it totally throws your insulin mechanism out of whack. It makes it malfunction, and I can't have that. So that's what I concentrate on. Plus, I use Dr. Ken Bloom's amino acid therapy.
Which is amazing, So tell me about how did the, when you develop these menus, okay? What is the typically, how do you get them to do it? How are you able to do this?
Well, first of all, it's actually pretty easy once you do it. What I did is I used technology, and of course I have a team of registered licensed dietitians and nutritionists that do a lot of the work. Now, I think they keep me around just because I'm good looking, but they do a lot of the work. And I had to make sure, get a list of everything that I know stimulates the opiate receptors, or that science knows stimulates the opiate receptors, and not put it in the diets, and then try to also make the menus where they have a slightly higher pH, and then you have to test them. And that's what my team is so good at, to make sure that it tastes good. And I came up with, we came up with 5 meals a day, 3 main meals and 2 snacks for 365 days a year, where we only duplicate at the most once with the special diet.
Okay, so you were discussing about, talking about some of these, eliminating the acidosis in the body, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And I do that through foods and through water. But certain foods have higher a higher pH. They're more alkaline, like lemons, limes, watermelon, grapefruit, mangoes, papaya, broccoli, spinach, asparagus, onions, garlic, parsley, and herbal teas.
Right.
So I try to make sure we have some of that in all of the menus. And also to put at least lemons and limes in the water if they don't want to use an ionizer or buy the more expensive 9.5 pH water, because we want to get rid of that acidosis. It's not good for us for a number of reasons, but especially what I already said about knocking the...
What are the statistics? What are the statistics on alcohol and drugs? I mean, how many people... What's the relapse rate?
The relapse rate between alcohol and drugs in the United States and or the successful withdrawal rate is only a little above 13%.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, with that thought, we're going to be right back. Let's take a break, and we're going to come back and get some pointers on what kind of foods we should probably eat. The Fusion of Science and Beauty right here in Beverly Hills. My website is ninamd.com, N-A-I-N-A-M-D.com. And I have a fabulous guest, Dr. Cantor. We're discussing about how you can actually give food to people who have addictions with alcohol and drugs, and how you can substitute these proper kinds of foods and to help their stop their addiction. We just finished with the relapse rate is, what were you saying, Dr. Cantor, is about 13%?
Well, no, that's not the relapse rate. That's the success rate is only a little over 13%. That means they didn't go back on the drugs or alcohol for at least a year.
Yeah, and that's a huge, I mean, we're only talking a 13% success rate. So we have got to be doing everything we can possibly to, you know, to try to stop people from, you know, going back. And it's so interesting the way the food concept. Can you tell us a little bit, and educate me as well, on when we have sugar, okay, there's different types of sugar, right? Because if we take, like you were talking about, coconut water, and coconut milk, which can help replenish the electrolytes, and it can help, you know, also help to alkalize the body because it is so rich in electrolytes. But coconut water does have a certain amount of sugar, right? So are there certain sugars, which this is what I mean, in my when I do consults with patients and I educate them, I often tell them that there are also different kinds of sugar. Is that correct? Is it in the sense...
It's not so much different kinds, because when it breaks down, sugar is eventually sugar. But what you're talking about is, talking about regular refined sugar, high fructose corn syrup, real simple carbohydrates. That's what you want to stay away from.
Sources of sugar, I would have to say, right? More correct.
But if you look at my menu under the nutrition plan, I have 1 week on the thing for free. It has coconut yogurt. It has a serving of low-sugar fruits with berries and apples and plums and grapes. So you have a little sugar because we need it for energy, but you want to stay away from the real simple.
Is it all the processed sugar, like from the corn syrup, the fructose?
That's right.
I think that when I started looking at this, it's really the fructose and the corn syrup that we started adding in the United States. And in Europe, they still use a lot of just glucose, just plain sugar. And I think that, and all the sugar substitutes that we have here, I think that in part has led to a lot of the, I would say, in the addiction issues too, is that has perpetuated that. Wouldn't you
That's
say?
That's correct. All those sugar substitutes, except for stevia,
yes,
cause problems with the body because we fool the body at the beginning because the body thinks it's sugar. Then when it finally realizes it and we have real sugar, it doesn't react fast enough. So we're throwing the body, off of its normal mechanism. So you want to stay away from the regular refined sugars, the high fructose corn syrup, and the real simple carbohydrates. There's nothing wrong with a baked potato. Mm-hmm. But then don't gob on, you know, all the different things that people put on the baked potato to make it. You know, you could also have a sweet potato, and that has sugar in it, but it's
right,
more
but
complex.
It has fiber. But it has, and it's also got a lot of fiber, so that you delay that, so to speak, the glycemic load. It helps, you know, you delay that quick onset. You don't get that sudden rise in the blood sugar because you've got the fiber that's helping to kind of help that. So,
and those highs and lows that you get in the blood sugar to somebody who's addicted to alcohol or drugs, it imitates the highs and lows that they get from the drugs.
Is that why they go for, like, sometimes they take, like, they'll take, like, junk food, or they'll take, like,
that's a candy bar.
That's what they're doing. Or they'll take, like, a Coke, certainly a Diet Coke or something?
What they do is, it's called transference. They're just transferring from one addiction, in a sense, to another. They'll transfer the sugar. They'll transfer the gluten. They'll transfer the caffeine. And the bad part about that is, although those are better addictions than drugs or alcohol, when they leave the facility and they're still used to having their opiate receptors stimulated and they didn't get rid of the inflammation because they're eating this stuff, it's very easy to fall back and relapse.
That's why the relapse rate is so high.
That's why I have on my site, I think I showed you yesterday, in recovery, they could click on that, and I let them get this once they leave the facility for free forever, just because I don't want them to relapse.
What is your website? What is your website
that they can go? Named, N-A-M-E-D, like, yes. I'm named Keith.
Yep.
So namedprogram.com.
Okay. Now, they can just type in named, right? Because I noticed that you've got a dot after each N dot A.
No. When you're doing websites, you don't. There's no dots, nothing.
Yeah,
it's just namedprogram.com.
Namedprogram.com. That's how I got on. Yeah.
Yep.
That was
namedprogram.com, and they could get a free week. It says right on top, get a free week. You know, you have to give your email address or something, a name, and you get a free week with all the pretty colors, and it gives you the recipes. You know, just so they could have some idea of the foods. It's also on a nutrition plan, but not as pretty as the free week they get.
Right, right. Now tell me about the dairy issue. Yogurt or Greek yogurt, it's still considered dairy, but yet we do incorporate it. I think it's because of the protein and the little different, the different little make of it, it's got a higher protein. Is that still okay, a moderate amount of
protein? I have some yogurts. You just have to be careful with the ones you pick. Like, I'm looking right now at the breakfast and stuff, and we have coconut yogurt and stuff. But what I try to do as best I can is I also have a coconut, and then it says dairy-free yogurt. So they have dairy-free yogurts.
Why is dairy so bad? And why does it cause so much inflammation?
For one reason, dairy in many cases contains a lot of sugar. And for the other reason, it stimulates the opiate receptors. And we don't want that to happen. So that's why you could use soy, you could use almond milk, you could use cashew milk, you could use coconut. You know, there's so many other varieties that'll give you the same flavor. And same taste.
But you look at the other Asian countries in Asia and so forth. I mean, they just thrive on dairy. I mean, they're like I go and I speak internationally, and when I go to countries such as, like, I've gone to India where I was in Mumbai and I gave a lecture. These people were drinking, and they were adults drinking. They said, we drink milk, a warm glass of milk before we go to bed every day. And they drink like 2 to 3 glasses of milk a day. How is this possible?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. If you don't have an addiction problem and you have some of the foods that we're talking about, it's fine in moderation. Now, I'm not addicted to anything, and fortunately I never was. So I have some of it, and I have it in moderation, and I work out a lot, so I don't gain weight, and it's fine. But if you're addicted or have a real abuse problem, you can't stimulate the opiate receptors because that's telling you to have more of what you're addicted to. And you can't have inflammation because that's doing the same thing. So we have to stay away from it. If you have no problems and you have a little sugar or a little dairy or even a little gluten, it's fine in moderation. But if you have these problems, stay away from it. Don't aggravate it.
Yeah, because once you start doing it, you're just going to want more and more of it. Just the same way.
If you ever went to an AA meeting or an NA meeting, you'll notice that, without exaggeration, 70 to 85% or more of the people smoke.
Okay.
Well, smoking obviously isn't good, But they just transfer the addiction from one thing to another. It's the same thing with caffeine. It's the same thing with sugar. It's the same thing with gluten, etc. They're trying to stimulate their opiate receptors. They don't know that, but it gives them the same feeling.
Got it. Have you, with Dr. Boone, have you done any work on with the amino acids and certain people are more susceptible to opiate receptor addiction than others?
Yes, but I don't think that it's a chemical or a genetic reason. And, you know, some people say, you know, based on your genetics, you could be more susceptible.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm not a geneticist, so I don't know that. But most people, when you find out why they started taking drugs or why they started having a problem with alcohol, it's usually a problem that's more of a psychological problem. And that's why I only go through the addiction and rehabilitation places, because I have psychiatrists and psychologists there to talk to them about the problems, you know, peer pressure and family problems and things of that nature. And that's what tends to start it. The thing that might be genetic, I don't know enough about. You have to be a real geneticist to do that. As a matter of fact, Ken Bloom's the one who found the addiction gene, Dr. Ken Bloom, the 70s.
Yeah, but again, I come in as a nutrigenomic expert, and what I say is that, okay, let's just say even if you have the gene, you can use certain nutrients that can change the way you express that gene. So, again, you can still, and it's very empowering because you can still control the fate. So even though you've got a genetic predisposition, simply by knowing certain nutrients and how they act on the genetic expression, then you can definitely change that. And that's really that's what you're doing too. You're giving foods that are helping change the way these people's genes are being expressed. And that's what the whole idea is, you know?
I want these people to get their self-esteem or to feel good by being able to do a couple more push-ups, being able to run a little further or walk a little further or ride the bike a little further, or their skin cleared up more or their teeth feel better. That's where I want them to feel good.
And it works.
A good amino acid therapy, which helps with their dopamine levels, but naturally, that's what Dr. Ken Bloom did.
Yeah.
That's how we want them to feel good, not from drugs, not from alcohol, and not from stimulating the opiate receptors. That's what my program does.
Listen, it's a successful program. Please look Dr. Kander up. His program is named program.com. It's a phenomenal program. I support it, thoroughly. Thank you so much, Dr. Kander. We'll be, I want you coming back on another day. Thank you so much for being on my show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, you guys. This is 9 a.m. Fusion of Science and Beauty right here in Beverly Hills.